Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Mem Hei, the fourth parak, Shor Shenagach. The fourth parak has been generously sponsored with Zichu Nishmas, Rosh Hadvar Bas Aharon HaKohen Al HaSham. May your neshama have an aliyah. So the details we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa teaches that if a shomer was guarding an ox when it killed someone, he can return it before it's sentenced to avoid paying for it, since it's currently a valuable ox. If he returned it after it was condemned, the Tanakhama says, Eina muchsar, it's not considered returned because it's now worthless. But Rabbi Yaakov says it is considered returned. After Rabbi rejects an initial explanation, he says, they argue about gonrim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav, if Beis Din can rule on the case of an ox not in its presence. If it can only be condemned when it's present, the owner can claim that the shomer caused the ox to become forbidden by placing it under Beis Din's control. They argue about the principle of kamisas abang ka kamisas ashor. The Tanakhama holds that just as a person must be present to be condemned to death, an ox does as well. Rabbi Yaakov argues that only a person who can make a claim in his defense must be present, as opposed to an ox. Point number two, a braisa elaborates on the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Arba niknasu tachas habalim. Four people take the owner's place to be liable for an animal's damages, and they are shomer chinam, a shoel, a nosei sachar, and a socher, an unpaid shomer, a borrower, a paid shomer, and a renter. If the ox killed, then a tam would be killed and no kofar is paid. If it's a mu'ud, naharagim u'mishalmin is a kofar, the ox is killed and the shomer pays kofar, and must return the ox's value to its owner, chutz mishomer chinam, except for an unpaid shomer who's exempt. The Gemara explains that he guarded the ox with a shmir b'chusa, an inferior guarding, so a shomer chinam, who's only liable for negligence, is exempt. Still, kofar must be paid because the braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that a mu'ud's owner is always liable regardless of how well he guarded it, or possibly the opinion of Rabbi Meir that a superior guarding is required for a mu'ud. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Kashu Ba'ala B'Maseira, if the owner tied his ox with a rein, V'nal B'Fan of Karui, or locked the gate before it, such that it can withstand a normal wind, yet it went out and damaged, Rebbeir holds Echot Tam V'Echot Mu'ud Chayiv. Whether it's a Tam or Mu'ud, he's liable because these lesser forms of guarding do not exempt the owner from paying damages of either. Although Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Tam is liable for such guarding, he is exempt from Mu'ud because the Torah says about a Mu'ud, V'yishma reno ba'alav, and its owner did not guard it, V'shamahuzeh, and this one was guarded, at least somewhat. Rabbi Eliezer says, Eino l'shmir el'asakin, a Mu'ud has no sufficient guarding except the knife of Shechita, and is liable for damages even when he guarded it in a superior way. After the Gemara explains Rabbi Meir's and Rabbi Yehuda's sources, it presents a fourth opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Echad tam ve'echad mu'ud sheshamer shmir b'chusa pater. Both the tam or a mu'ud, which is owner guarded with an inferior guarding and a damage, he is pater. So once again, the 3 points are number one. A braisa teaches that if a shomer was guarding an ox when it killed someone, he can return it before it's sentenced to avoid paying for it, since it's currently a valuable ox. If he returned it after it was condemned, the Tanakhama says, Eina muchsar, it's not considered returned because it's now worthless, but Rabbi Yaakov says it is considered returned. After Rabbi rejects an initial explanation, he says, they argue about gonrim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav, if Beis Din can rule on the case of an ox not in its presence. If it can only be condemned when it's present, the owner can claim that the shomer caused the ox to become forbidden by placing it under Beis Din's control. They argue about the principle of kamisas abang ka kamisas ashor. The Tanakhama holds that just as a person must be present to be condemned to death, an ox does as well. Rabbi Yaakov argues that only a person who can make a claim in his defense must be present, as opposed to an ox. Point number two, a braisa elaborates on the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Arba niknasu tachas habalim. Four people take the owner's place to be liable for an animal's damages, and they are shomer chinam, a shoel, a nosei sachar, and a socher, an unpaid shomer, a borrower, a paid shomer, and a renter. If the ox killed, then a tam would be killed and no kofar is paid. If it's a mu'ud, naharagim u'mishalmin is a kofar, the ox is killed and the shomer pays kofar, and must return the ox's value to its owner, chutz mishomer chinam, except for an unpaid shomer who's exempt. The Gemara explains that he guarded the ox with a shmir b'chusa, an inferior guarding, so a shomer chinam, who's only liable for negligence, is exempt. Still, kofar must be paid because the braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that a mu'ud's owner is always liable regardless of how well he guarded it, or possibly the opinion of Rabbi Meir that a superior guarding is required for a mu'ud. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Kashu Ba'ala B'Maseira, if the owner tied his ox with a rein, V'nal B'Fan of Karui, or locked the gate before it, such that it can withstand a normal wind, yet it went out and damaged, Rebbeir holds Echot Tam V'Echot Mu'ud Chayiv. Whether it's a Tam or Mu'ud, he's liable because these lesser forms of guarding do not exempt the owner from paying damages of either. Although Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Tam is liable for such guarding, he is exempt from Mu'ud because the Torah says about a Mu'ud, V'yishma reno ba'alav, and its owner did not guard it, V'shamahuzeh, and this one was guarded, at least somewhat. Eliezer says, Eino Oshmir El Asakin. Amud has no sufficient guarding except the knife of Shechita, and is liable for damages even when he guarded it in a superior way. After the Gemara explains Rabbi Meir's and Rabbi Yehuda's sources, it presents a fourth opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Echad Tam ve'echad Mu'ud she'shamer shmir b'chusa pater. Both the Tam or Amud, which is owner guarded with an inferior guarding, and a damage, he is pater. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Hey, and big news here in Zichru Land. The Siman of Monopoly is being retired. We are no longer using Monopoly as a Siman for Mem Hey. There are a couple of reasons for that. One, it was a very loose connection, Mem Hey Ma Monopoly. And secondly, it was very difficult to work with to build a Siman around. So Monopoly is no longer the Siman. The Siman is Manishtana, which is a Leil Seder scene. So Manishtana is the new Siman here in Maseches Baba Kama at the start of Seder Nezikin. So here goes. When the little boy at the Seder who asked, why is it different for a Shomer to return an ox after it was condemned, was interrupted by his brother who went ahead and read about the four Shomrim, who are Niknasu, Takas Abalim. Their father stood up holding a knife and said he would guard proper behavior at the table, just like he would guard Amuad. Once again, slow motion. When the little boy at the Seder asked, why is it different? Manishtana, that must be run daf, Mem Hey. When the little boy at the Seder asked, why is it different for a Shomer to return an ox after it was condemned, which reminds us, a Braisa teaches that if a Shomer was guarding an ox when it killed someone, he can return it before its sentence to avoid paying for it since it's currently a valuable ox. If he returned after it was condemned, the Tanakhama says, in a mochsar, it's not considered return because it's now worthless. But Rabbi Yaakov says it's considered return. Rava says they argue about gomim dinu shel shor shel b'fanav, if Beis Din can rule on the case of an ox, not in its presence. So when the little boy at the Seder who asked, why is it different for a shomer to return an ox after it was condemned, was interrupted by his brother who went ahead and read about the four shomrim, who are niknesu takas abalim, which reminds us, the Braisa elaborates on the Mishnah and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Arba niknesu takas abalim, four people take the owner's place to be liable for an animal's damages, and they are the shomer chinam, a shoel, a nosei sachar, and a socher, an unpaid shomer, a borrower, a paid shomer, and a renter. If the ox killed, then a tam would be killed and no kofar is paid. If it's a muad, now ragi mushalmin is a kofar. The ox is killed and the shomer pays kofar, but chayyavin ox to make sure lebalav and must return the ox's value to its owner, except for a shomer chinam, who was pater. So when the little boy at the Seder asked, why is it different for a shomer to return an ox after it was condemned, was interrupted by his brother who went ahead and read about the four shomrim, who are niknesu takas abalim. Their father stood up holding a knife and said he would guard proper behavior at the table, just like he would guard a muad. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes about the level of shmira required for tam and muad. Eliezer says, Eino shmira al sakin. A muad has no sufficient guarding except the knife of Shechita, and is liable for damages even when he guarded it in a superior way. So once again, when the little boy of the Seder asked, why is it different for a shomer to turn an ox after it was condemned, was interrupted by his brother who went ahead and read about the four shomrim, who are niknesu takas abalim. Their father stood up holding a knife and said he would guard proper behavior at the table, just like he would guard a muad. All right, so now it's time for four blapach chazar. Daf Mem Alf. So the siman Daf Mem Alf is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Alf, ma. The grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer, Shor Tam, became a muad after the three people had injured all died, after the third goring, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how an ox can become a muad to kill people before being stoned. Since the Tam is killed, how can it become a muad to kill people? Seven answers are offered and four remain, one being, Kagon Shesikin L'Shrosha B'nei Adam, where it mortally injured three people who died after the third goring, rendering the ox a muad then and obligating its owner in kofar. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that a killer Shor Tam became a muad after the three people had injured all died, after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely aser bahana, which reminds us of Bryce to discuss the laws of a shohan niskal, a condemned ox. Since it's stoned to death, it's obvious that it cannot be eaten, klakin shechita. So why does the Torah need to write lo ya'achel es psaro? Its flesh shall not be eaten. It teaches shim shchatu lachar shenigmar dino, if he shechted it after its sentence was finalized, but before it was stoned, aser ba'achila, it's forbidden in consumption. We learn from Baal HaShor Naki that the shor is also aser bahana. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer Shor Tam became a muad after the three people had injured all died, after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely aser bahana, got some good news that she didn't have to pay chatzi kofar when another Shor Tam of hers intended to kill an animal, and inadvertently killed a Jew, which reminds us, in a brisa was taught, the pasuk says ubal shor naki, and the ox's owner is absolved from payment, which Rabbi Eliezer explains, naki mechazi kofer, the owner of a tam is absolved from paying half kofer. Rabbi Eliezer gave different explanations of the case, one being where the ox intended to kill an animal or Gentile, and it inadvertently killed a Jew, for which it's not killed, but would pay kofer. Daf Mem Beis, so the simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster, so here goes. When the ox running away from the mobsters, that must mean we're in Daf Mem Beis. When the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal charged into a pregnant woman, killing her, and the fetus, which reminds us of Yosef Guli Darshan's Balashor Naki, to teach Naki Midme Vlados, he's absolved from paying for offspring lost when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. So when the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it, charged into a pregnant woman, killing her, and the fetus, and into a slave, which reminds us, in another brisa, Rabbi Akiva Darshan's Baal Shor Naki to teach Naki Midme Evet, he's absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his ox's killing a slave. So when the ox running away from the mobsters who are trying to steal it, charged into a pregnant woman killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, the owner was putter on the fetus and the slave, and paid kofar for the woman to her yorshim, not her husband. Which reminds us, in a brisa was taught, the pasuk says, the hamis ish o isha, and it killed a man or woman, indicating a comparison between the two. Rabbi Akiva explains that since we already know from elsewhere that kofar is paid for killing a woman, the pasuk is teaching ma ish nezakav liyorshav, just as regarding a man, his damage payments are given to his heirs if he dies before they're paid, af ish nezakav liyorshav, so too regarding a woman, her damage payments are given to her heirs, not her husband. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine. Magazine? That must mean we're in Daf Mem Gimel. The Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, which reminds us, Rapapa explains that Torah Ziksa Dmei Vlados Rabal. The Torah awarded the value of the offspring to the husband, meaning the one from whom the woman conceived, Afil Ba'aleh Baznus, even if he had relations with her out of wedlock and was not her husband. This is because the Torah used the term Baal Isha, the husband of the woman, the word Baal implying relations. So the Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, finished reading that a shor that kills a slave of Ben Chorin without Kavana gets to live, and his owner is putter from paying Shoshim Shkalim and Kofar, which reminds us. Rish Lakish said, Shor Shehemis is a Evich Lobo Kavana. If an ox killed a slave unintentionally, where the ox is not killed, putter from Shoshim Shkalim, the owner is putter from paying 30 Shkalim, because the Torah wrote, Kesef Shoshim Shkalim Yitenu Adunav Vashor Yisakel. 30 Shkalim he shall pay its master, and the ox shall be stoned, implying that the two laws are interdependent. Rabba said the same regarding kofar. Shor Shehemis ben Chorin Shloba Kavana Patma Kofar. If an ox killed a free person unintentionally, he is exempt from paying kofar. There too, the Torah juxtaposed the two laws, teaching that wherever the ox is not killed, the owner does not pay kofar. So the Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, finished reading that a shor that kills a slave of ben Chorin without Kavana gets to live, and his owner is putter from paying Shoshim Shkalim and kofar, and was engrossed in an article discussing whether damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire, which reminds us that more discusses if damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire. Daf Mem Dalad. So the simmer Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The ox that rubbed itself against a muddy wall, mud, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Dalad. The ox that rubbed itself against a muddy wall, which then collapsed and killed a Jew, which reminds us, the next mission states, Shor Shemeshacher Bechosav Anafla Adam. If an ox was rubbing itself against a wall and it collapsed onto a person and killed him, or if an ox intended to kill an animal, a goy, or a non-viable baby, and instead killed a viable Jew, it is putter. There's machlokas whether an ox is liable for unintentional damages when it injures a person. So the ox that rubbed itself against a muddy wall, which then collapsed and killed a Jew, and then got so angry that it got all muddy that it attempted to gore someone to death, but accidentally killed someone else, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that an ox which intended to kill an animal and killed a person is exempt from being stoned. This implies that if it had tended to kill a Jew and killed a different Jew, it is stoned. The Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, who said, Afil niskavenu har gazeh bahar gazeh pater, even if it intended to kill this Jew and instead killed another, it's pater, because the Torah said, Hashor yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumas, the ox shall be stoned, and the owner shall also die. This juxtaposition teaches, K'misas haban kach misas ashor, as the laws are regarding the owner's death, so are the laws regarding the ox's death. So the ox that rubbed itself against a muddy wall, which then collapsed and killed a Jew, and then got so angry that it got all muddy that it attempted to gore someone to death, but accidentally killed someone else, turned out to be an ownerless ox, which isn't killed, which reminds us, there's some halachos if an onerous ox that kills a Jew is killed, Rav Huna says. The Reuven exempted the ox, afil nagach ubasov hiktish, even where it gored and he subsequently was makdish it, nagach ubasov hifkir, or it gored and he subsequently was mafkir it. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which of the one that Yesomim are not chayv and kofra? And the Gemara brings machlokas. How kofra is evaluated according to the value of the nizak or the mazik? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have machlokas regarding a shomer returning an ox after it's condemned to death? That's on daf. Mem. Hey. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have machlokas whether an onerous ox that kills someone is liable for death? That's on daf. Memdal. Good. Number 4. Which daf do Machok is about the level of guarding required for a tam and mu'ud? Rabbi Yezer says that the only shmira for a mu'ud is the knife. That's on daf. Memhei. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you want Rabbi Yossi Agli Darshan's Baha Shor Naki to teach Naki Mineme Vlados? He is absolved from paying for offspring lost when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. That's on daf. Membeis. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn if an ox killed an Eved or Ben Chorin without Kavana? The animal lives, and one is not liable for shoshim shkolim and kofar. That's on daf. Mem gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss? Tzad tamus bim koma umedis. Does the tam portion of amud remain in its place in a case of shmir pachusa? That's on daf. Lamatas. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss how an ox can become a mu'ud to kill people before being stoned when even a tam is stoned if it kills someone? That's on daf. Mem off. Good. Number 9. Which of the one if an ox was rubbing itself against a wall and the wall collapsed onto a person and killed them, the owner of the ox is putter. That's on daf. Mem dal. Good. And number 10. Which of the one about the four shomrim who are nichnasu takas abalim? That's on daf. Mem hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.